Well, hello, everyone out there in K-Goat land. This is Lori Buckle coming to you on February 11th, 2026, with another episode, a really great one today, of What's Upstream. My partner, Mark Cuccinelli, is in Italy, and we wish Mark well. He's traveling in his absolutely favorite part of the world. So, Mark, hope your travels are going well. What's Upstream is coming to you on KYGT LPFM 102.7 and 103.9 on the FM dial, streaming worldwide on clearcreekradio.com. Maybe Mark is even listening to us today from Italy. It's the middle of the night there, I think. So anyway, let's see. Before we get to our very interesting guest today, Jeffrey Lockwood, I would like to read a quick PSA reminding you all that this month K-Goat marks its 31st year. Please consider making a contribution to help us stay on the air. Click on the Donate Now button at the top of our webpage, clearcreekradio.com. You can make a one-time gift or you can set up a regular payment, which we prefer and which really is easier for you. It can be of any amount. Clear Creek Radio is an exempt 501c3 charitable organization, and your gift will be tax deductible. Keep listening and help us keep community radio alive and well in Clear Creek County. Thank you very much. So, yes, we are so lucky to have this radio station here in our community. And today we get to visit with a new community member. I met Jeffrey, I think around the holiday time. And it was just so fun to meet him. And here, 2 months later, he's already on community radio. So welcome, Jeffrey Lockwood.
Lori, thank you for having me today. It's wonderful to be living now in Clear Creek County and in Idaho Springs. And a little clue, I have a great view of the city, and it's beautiful to just kind of look over it and be here. In the sense that, you know, to live in the mountains is the greatest blessing. I don't know how to say it a different way. The people are warm, the sun's warm, the mountains are big, and I'm just happy to be here and to be getting involved and figure out what kind of impact I can create in the space, positive impact.
Terrific. I felt that about you the first time we met.
Thank you.
And you're right. This is our happy place up here. We are so lucky to live up and out of the city. We may even get some snow later today, which would be wonderful. So
we love the snow, that's for sure.
Yeah. So Jeffrey, just tell us a bit about your story and how you ended up coming to Idaho Springs.
Sure, absolutely. You know, I'm originally from the Midwest, but have been in Colorado for about 10 years now. I've lived everywhere from Arvada to Boulder to Pueblo, West, Colorado Springs, and almost bought a house in Jefferson County just a few months ago before I landed out in Idaho Springs. I figured if I'm going to buy a home anywhere, I want to make sure that I get my time in the mountains, you know, for lack of better explanation, mm-hmm. not wanting to have that fear of missing out. You buy in the city, you stay in the city for at least 5 years, if not 30. So trying to find my heart.
And then you have to beat the I-70 traffic
exactly.
to come to the mountains.
Exactly.
Good heavens.
So I had a redirect around December, about to buy a house, was going to make an offer. We had gone through the beginning processes of a few options and then decided that they weren't the right fits. And ended up renting in Idaho Springs. And now I'm thinking about buying, building, purchasing, except staying. How do I find a way to stay in this community? Because it has just been so warm. I mean, if it's not the sun, it's the people. And that has just been overwhelming. So it took about 2 weeks of being here to realize, wow, it's time to start getting involved and find out what, you know, who the people are and what represents this community.
Yeah, for sure. Well, and from the day I met you, those were your questions. How can I get involved? These are the kinds of things I'm interested in. And, you know, it's just such a blessing when people move here who really do want to get involved, especially younger people. I don't know if you know this about our county, Jeffrey, but we are, I think, the second oldest county in Colorado. We recently did a show on seniors, and I think that was a statistic that our friend Jaden shared with us. So we're a aging community, and boy, us white hairs really love it when brown hairs move in the community that have some energy and want to get involved. It's terrific.
You know, it's so interesting to I'll hit 38 years old on the 18th of February, and to be called young still is wonderful. I love it. I operate, and I'm sure we'll chat more about this, but a nonprofit with about 1,000 volunteers, a little over 1,000 volunteers around the state of Colorado. And it's always interesting to have that generational perspective. I'm looking at the 18 through 30 year olds as, wow, they're going to change the world so much longer than I will be able to.
Right.
But it is. It's so exciting to see, you know, every generation getting out and participating in the change in our world and kind of beautifying the space directly and at a distance around us.
Yeah.
So thank you for that. No, I appreciate it. I've found that I was probably about 20 years old when I had this epiphany or moment of sort of maybe fear that what if I don't do anything with my life? Like, what if I don't impact a single person's life in a way that, my story in a way really began at about 21, where I was asking this question of what happens if I get to the end of my life and I'm not proud of it? That was the question.
21. Okay.
I had a few mentors that, through a fraternal organization that had shared with me, I mean, just the same words in different language of, I didn't wish I had more success in my career. I did not wish for more money, more power, more influence. It was either love or experiences or impact. And usually there were a combination. I had these wise mentors telling me the same thing, like, find purpose. It, when you're at my age, it's the only thing you're going to care about is what you did with purpose. Mm-hmm. And it may be love, it may be adventure, but it's purpose. It's going to circle back to that one question. What are you proud of at the end of your life? And that it almost haunted me for a few years, realizing, oh my goodness, what these are the people I admire and respect. And they're teaching me, they're taking the time to say, this is how you become the most exceptional or best version of yourself. Take the path, chase it.
Wow.
But it was don't miss that point. Otherwise, you'll just chase professional success, wealth, etc. Find the purpose. The other stuff doesn't. We don't get buried with the money. We get buried with the purpose. And I actually had one of them tell me something very similar. Those lines, you don't get buried with the money, you get buried with the purpose. And it changed my life. I started chasing purpose.
Wow. I just think that's so interesting. You were a young person at 21, sort of having an existential crisis about, I mean, that shows you to be a pretty wise individual even at 21.
I wanted to have, well, it wasn't, you know, and that's, thank you. I like to think I absorbed wisdom from the outside. Mm-hmm. I mean, I had the moment where these people I trusted and respected said, do this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't have, I was either going to learn from my own mistakes or I was going to learn from their wisdom. And that was the moment where I said, I don't want to learn from my mistakes for the rest of my life. I will. And that's the nature of life. But if I have wisdom, I want to soak it in. I want to sponge it and apply it.
You're really talking about a fork in the road, right?
It was a quarter life crisis. I kind of talk about it being where it was chase the, you know, the college dream, if you will, and have as much fun in my 20s as I could, or start building a purposeful path. And ironically, that led to fun in my 20s and in my 30s and, you know, soon in my 40s.
Yeah. So tell us the story beginning after that choice that you made.
Well, I had this this dream. It was a physical dream. Which probably was a little part of my psychology. I would spend, a portion of my dream time almost every night dreaming about the road from the Midwest to Colorado. So I would take this 16-hour drive in my dream and watch the clock go up. And as I would see the mountains or enter the first, water pathway into the mountains, I would wake up. Mm. And this was paired with that quarter life crisis. It was really paired with this, wow, am I going to have the fear of missing out? Am I going to miss the opportunities that are sitting in front of me? And I finished university a week before my lease ended. Mm. And I was looking at graduate school, and I was looking at full-time jobs as a placeholder. And then I was looking at signing my lease. And these three things inevitably would have locked me in the Midwest for who knows how long. Mm-hmm. And it was that moment where I said, I have to chase the dream. Everyone I know who has, I was at one point I had a state's attorney who was mentoring me and saying, run away. Like, don't, I was looking at law school, and he said, don't do it. You can come back in 10 years, go chase your dreams, run away to the mountains. Don't stay here. Wow. And I did. And I said, I'm not signing the lease. I have a week to get rid of everything I own. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to drive out to Colorado. And that was that 2016, I believe. So we're getting close to 10 years here.
Wow.
And it was just the pack up, go give away everything you have, sell what you can, and just discard the rest, because we can only fit what fits in our SUV on this mission. Mm-hmm. There isn't a place waiting for us specifically. It's find the home, find the purpose, find the mission, and really find myself. And I knew it had to start here in Colorado. So That was kind of my fork in the road. It was like a fork that came a little bit later. And I realized I had this definitive moment of stay or go, chase or be ultra conservative with my path. And I chose to chase the dream.
And you've got a huge smile on your face. Our listeners can't see it, but they can hear it, I think, in your voice.
I had a few other points like that. Uh-huh. 5 years later, I was studying for the LSAT. I had the book in front of me.
Oh,
mm-hmm. And this is fast forwarding a little bit, but I had helped my sister become, her family adopted me, but she became the first wheelchair user to climb our tallest peak in Colorado 5 years later. And about a month after that, I said, we did purpose. This was great. Let's go to law school.
Oh,
I did this for family. Mm-hmm. She got to be the historic person. She broke the glass ceiling. First wheelchair user to climb our tallest peak. And then I went, We're good. Let's go to law school. Started studying for the LSAT, had the book in front of me during COVID, during our shutdown.
Oh, yeah.
Thought, what a perfect time to dig in and figure out what comes next. And we had a funder reach out and say, we saw what you did. How do we support the mission? And that's where it really, we caught our first bit of traction. Another fork in the road of take that same route down graduate school,
yeah,
or continue to make the change. And at the time, we didn't have the resources to grow or to have vision or to say, let's do something else impossible.
Wow. So it sounds like you've been inspired by your sister.
Yes, absolutely.
And that she was really an important person along this journey.
Mm-hmm.
The journey towards purpose.
Absolutely. If we were to back up to right before I left the Midwest, I was working with a young man who was diagnosed with autism. Wonderful young man, nonverbal. Really struggled to get out of the house. And we didn't know why at first. And it turned out his intellectual capability was extraordinarily high. Mm. His communication skills were a little lower. And that was the challenge. So he wasn't able to communicate what he wanted, and we had to explore and find out. And I learned from him that at 13 years old, big surprise, he didn't want to go to the playground. He wanted to go hiking.
Mm.
And I found that out, that he would not have a great time if we took him to where 3-year-olds play. But if I took him to where kids his age or adults played, he had the best time. And there was this epiphany. While I was gaining this experience in caregiving, I was studying classical archaeology. I was starting my sort of mountain guide career, and I was working in the care world. And I discovered that Nick really just wanted to do what he wanted to do, not what other people thought he should do.
Wow.
And I had that was it was a powerful moment for me in my story, maybe another fork in the road of going, we all have individual needs and wants and desires and heart and vision of like what brings us joy. And we try to box one another and say, this is what you should do. And Nick just wanted to go running in the woods. And that was something we did together. And his father didn't understand how we got him out every day when it would be months with other caregivers. And I said, well, he wants to run. So we go trail running together. And he's happy.
Yeah.
And then we throw rocks in the ponds and we make splashes. And it was just the most beautiful moment. So, you know, that was happening before I left the Midwest. And then I landed in Colorado and met Zara.
Mm-hmm.
We were not family yet. We spent many Christmases, Easters, Thanksgivings, you know, just every single holiday together about a year after 2018.
Mm-hmm.
But I met her and she had this, I was starting a mountain guiding company and I was taking effectively tourists up into the mountains on backpacking trips. And Zara, and I was doing my own personal adventures and I was actually working on Zara's care team. There's a whole story to this. She thought she was hiring a female. I had long hair in my profile picture. They almost turned me away at the front door. And they said, you know, you traveled, do the interview, and we probably won't hire you, though. And they hired me. And we became family. And, I mean, we've spent 10 cyclical years of every holiday together since. She just moved to Portugal last year. But I met her, and she wanted to see where I was going.
Uh-huh.
She was desperate to see what I was doing with who, and she knew if she caught one picture on social media, it was one of 1,000 videos and images, and she wanted to see every single one. She wanted all of the media so she could understand what I was doing, how we were doing it, and get this sense. So we would spend the mornings having coffee, and Zara eventually, and breakfast, and eventually Zara said, you know, I don't want to pour the coffee and show me the videos. I don't want to wait for breakfast to see what you've been up to. I've been curious. And there was this moment, another fork in the road, where at first I thought, oh, she's hungry and I have bread. I'm going to give her all the bread she can eat.
Mm-hmm.
This is a person who is being integrated into my life in a very powerful way. I'm going to feed her as much as I can. So I started taking 3-4 times as many videos, photos. I was doing these panoramic videos so that she could understand the scale, not just a photo. And probably about a month or two in, Zara has this sort of superpower. She has cerebral palsy, you know, communication. I have a barrier to her communication. It's my barrier. But she could use it as a superpower. If someone bumps into her in the hallway, she could give them a little business, you know, and we'd all laugh if you understood what she was saying, but the person wouldn't, and it was innocent and fun. But she would also use that kind of under her breath tone if she was upset, like many of us do, or if she wanted something. And we were sitting at breakfast one day sharing media, and she said, it wasn't meant for me. She said, I wish I could do that. I wish I could go there.
Mm.
And my heart collapsed, because this was the only person in the world who was at the point really supporting my crazy ideas.
Mm.
And then embracing every piece of the journey, and she wanted to be there.
Mm.
And she was, but she, what, we didn't use the word sister, brother, family at that time, but like we were close.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt it, and I just had this moment where I was like, oh my God, I'm not feeding someone who's hungry. That's what she may be feeling.
Mm-hmm.
But now that I heard that expression, it's a carrot on a stick scenario. I'm hanging a carrot in front of her, and I'm letting her see it, smell it. Maybe she can even taste it in the air, but she can't have it. And she, my jaw, like, basically hit the table. My heart was crushed in that moment, and Zara noticed, and she literally immediately said, that wasn't for you to hear. You weren't supposed to hear that.
Mm.
And I said, I did. And that's when we started working on, you know, what we do today with Adaptive Trail, helping people with disabilities, people with all abilities, access the outdoors, access the mountains, not just the trails, not just the mountains, but those communities that are involved, those memories that we create together that forge bonds for the rest of our lives. I mean, and that's actually ironically why Zara and I became family. It was the bonds we were creating, these like inseparable memories with community, and it was precious to us. And that was sort of our next step.
Wow.
I was trying to figure out, what does that look like? What? No equipment, no volunteers, no organization, no fundraising, no LLC, no 501c3.
Not yet.
No knowledge, a degree in classical studies.
But what did it look like?
Well, you know, fascinating question, because it didn't look anything like it looks today.
Oh.
I looked and I said, here's what I want to do. If I had one moment, I went back 10 years and I said, that one moment at the end of my life, what will I be proud of? Mm-hmm. I don't want to take Zara out to a local park. I want her to see the top of a 14er.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know how to do that. I couldn't even think of a reasonable way at first. And then I discovered Mount Blue Sky. And I knew that there was a road up there, and I went and visited the road, and I hiked the trail up, and I went, you know, this is short. And a helicopter could land right in that parking lot if we needed to, as a safety. We were looking at risk management. The mm-hmm. worst things happen. How do we, same thing today. How do we handle the worst things that happen? The short trail, the fact that we could park, the fact that search and rescue could drive to us, the fact that a helicopter, all these things lined up to, if you're going to try something a little bit wild
mm-hmm.
and magnificent, this is the way we're going to do it. So we drove up, we planned to drive up to Mount Evans, and I planned to piggyback Zara, because I thought, I'm carrying these client packs, they're dumping their gear on me every couple miles, I end up with a 120-pound pack, Zara's 90 pounds, easy, light work. I don't mm-hmm. have to carry it for 5 days. I have to carry Zara for a quarter of a mile or whatever the distance is up the Blue Sky Trail. So we started planning about 2 or 3 weeks out, and Zara had shared with one of her friends with cerebral palsy, Austin is his name, had went on many adventures with us going forward, but Austin reached out and he said, I heard you guys are doing Mount Evans. Mm-hmm. I want to come. Can mm-hmm. I come with too?
Mm-hmm.
And I thought all of a sudden, oh my goodness. I don't know. We're not set up for this, because now there's logistics. It's not just piggyback Zara up and then piggyback her down. Someone has to stay with Austin while I get Zara up. Someone has to stay with Zara while I go back down for Austin. And then will my body hold up?
Mm-hmm.
And the nutshell is I needed a few volunteers. One of my roommates volunteered. Last minute, a friend came. We did this thing. I piggybacked Zara up. I was exhausted. Mm-hmm. I was unstable. It felt good enough for everyone but me. I was the only person questioning myself. And then I went down and I got Austin up next. Zara up first, Austin next. You know, we cried on the summit. They didn't know we would be there. I didn't know if I would make it. We presented these geologic summit replica markers. We took pictures. We cried. We laughed. We smiled. The wind blew us over. It was wonderful. It was everything we wanted.
And you got her there.
And we couldn't see the parking lot. So it felt genuine. We were on top of the world. And then I was like, oh my goodness, I have to go down now.
Mm.
And it's going to be easier, but more risky mm-hmm. because of, you know, slip and fall damage. So we battled down the mountain and we got into the car, and Austin had this smile wrapped around his head like 150 times. Like mm-hmm. you couldn't unwind it if you had, you know, heavy machinery. Mm-hmm. He was so happy. And Zara sat in the front seat with me in passenger, and as we drove down, she's using that technique. She's delivering under her breath. I can't believe I just did that. She must have said it 6-7 times on the way down, like almost like every switchback that she would see the mountain as we passed. She'd go, I can't believe I just did that. And it was brilliant, because I had this little percentage of me that felt like a superhero just for that moment. I was like, I did it. Mm-hmm. I did it. I get to feel good. But the rest of me was going, I hurt. That wasn't the way we should have done it. It's not sustainable. I don't know if I can do this into my 30s, my 40s, my 50s. And I don't want to not take Zara. It's just a bigger breadcrumb, a bigger carrot on a stick. I don't want her to never revisit this place. And she is in awe of the experience. And I'm dreading that I might have to tell her I can't take her back. That was my moment. I don't know if I can take you back.
Yeah.
And that was where I realized I need more muscle than I have in my arms and legs, which is volunteers. I need stronger bones than the ones in my body. We need equipment. And quite honestly, we need volunteer support. We need to create a community organization. And that was the moment where I said, I have to become, I don't know if I'm capable of it, but the only way this becomes sustainable and grows is if I become an incredible volunteer recruiter.
Wow.
We need people that connect mm-hmm. with the mission
mm-hmm.
and love being outdoors and are willing to lend their strength to make a difference in each other's lives.
I'm seeing sort of the vision for the Lockwood Foundation. Yep. Yes?
Oh, yes, exactly. It was right there when I realized, there's a recipe here.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just, it is heart. heart has to go into these things. But there are pieces that make it functionally and logistically play, and that's where we started our journey to become what we are today, which is a statewide volunteer organization, over 1,000 volunteers throughout the state of Colorado, creating well over 100 trail experiences a year for people with, quite frankly, extremely limited mobility, wheelchair users mostly, you know, wow. Accessing single-track trails, climbing to the top of mountains, backcountry skiing, hut trips, anything that we can envision. It really always starts with, where would I want to go if I couldn't get there, mm-hmm. and how do we do that?
Yeah, that that expression that just took you here, that you had with Zara over coffee when she said to you what she didn't really want you to hear, but what you heard.
It's in a good way, certainly a positive way now. It's burned into my soul forever.
Right.
You know, like what are you, and that realization that we didn't know we were capable of that.
Mm-hmm.
We, neither of us, Zara and Austin, did not know they could be there.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that I could carry them.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know that we would help 5 more athletes up Mount Elbert and 2 up Pikes Peak after that. We did not know that that would, and Zara later, right? That was blue sky.
Wow.
The next year we looked at Quandary Peak with another athlete. And then I asked Zara, will you be the guinea pig for Mount Elbert? You'll forgive me if we do something wrong. And she said, I want to go to, it would only be me. I have to be the first person. And we went and summited that peak, and Zara made history. She changed the world for everyone, not only in the state of Colorado, but our nation and throughout the world when we summited that peak. It had never been.
What year is this that we're talking
that
about?
That was actually the end of 2020.
Okay.
So there's this wonderful story of being, you know, ski season shuts down in 2019-20. We're indoors for months. We're slowly being let out with masks. Masks are off. We're operating at this point by hospital guidelines. We had no year, basically.
Mm-hmm.
We functionally opened up. I'm sorry, that was 21. 2020 is when we went after Quandary Peak at the end. And that was something where we said, okay, hospitals are, you know, they've alleviated their restrictions. Let's go outside together at least. We're going to follow their indoor subscriptions for or prescriptions for the outdoors. And we went out and we had success. And then we went back the next year with Zara and we made history. It was incredible.
Is she on your back going up the highest peak in Colorado?
Yeah. So the backing up, this is a great question. Backing up, what we discovered, that sort of like, I need stronger bones than I have now.
Mm-hmm.
We discovered that in, I think it was like 1992, it was the early 90s, there was a machine that was created out of Canada, and it was a single track trail wheelchair. It effectively pushes like a wheelbarrow from the back, and it pulls like a rickshaw from the front, and that's called a trail rider.
Mm-hmm.
That's the device that we use today, and we discovered it, we imported it from Canada, and that's the device that we took dozens of volunteers up Mount Elbert and helped Zara break through that glass ceiling for everyone else after her.
Wow. 2021.
I feel like I'm missing my dates up right now. It might have been 18 that we went after Quandary, and then it might have been 20 at the end that we went after Elbert for the first year.
Wow.
Because we had that break gap period.
But it became, it was newsworthy, and it became a story that you say really did kind of go around the world.
We had a national news story, I believe it was Fox or NBC, that blew up, and that's what led to that moment where I was studying for the LSAT, and this foundation reached out, and they said, our chairman of our board has climbed all the 14ers, and they really appreciated what you've done for Zara, and we want to figure out how do you grow that? And I actually told them, I said, well, we need to hire an executive director so that I can go to law school. And they said, okay, we'll call you back. And about a week later, they said, it's you or nobody. And I went, oh man, talk about a fork in the road and no options. Just
right.
Left or right. That's it. North or south.
Wow.
Yeah.
So the Lockwood Foundation is born.
The Lockwood Foundation is born, and I start reaching out to anyone in any platform, any way I can, to say, will you be part of this mission? Will you come hike with us just for a couple hours? Help us explore what this looks like. Help us open up the world for everyone. You know, help us share the experiences that we love with everyone and make sure that everyone has a chance to create, not just have the access, not just to have the inclusion, but to build those lifelong memories that like bring us sorry to be a little morbid here, but at the end of our life that bring us joy and fulfillment, we go, I lived. Mm-hmm. I lived, and I lived with people around me that loved me. That's what we were aiming for. I mean, it's still the same philosophy. We're really trying not to scale programming and be a business. We do. We have to. There's a need every day to scale. But we look through that need, not the let's build a bigger business. Let's build a bigger heart and a bigger space for everyone to participate in.
Oh my gosh, that's so special. Mm-hmm. And before we go to break, Jeffrey, before the show, we were talking about sort of reframing disability into a vision for yourself, an exceptional vision for yourself. And I wonder if you would just share that with the people who are listening to this really compelling story.
Absolutely. You know, it's interesting because in the beginning of this organization, there was this volunteer and adaptive participant dynamic. And it was very quick that we realized that every single person in that group has different gifts and abilities. Mm-hmm. And in some cases, like, we all lack ability in certain spaces. I'm not a great writer. I can speak, but it's not where I find my fluidity and my charisma and my heart. Mm-hmm. We all have our strengths and weaknesses. And we realize that this whole mission is not so much about what your ability is in a range or a spectrum. You know, are you the strongest runner, power lifter, speaker, writer? It doesn't matter. Those things don't matter. It's what can you be exceptional in? It's not this framework of ability, disability, lack of ability, differing ability. Those are great words and grant reports and grant applications and PR reports. But what it really is how can we encourage everyone around us to realize how exceptional they can be? Zara and I both, since we've already told this narrative, Zara and I each realized how exceptional we could be on that Mount Blue Sky adventure. Mm-hmm. I realized I could piggyback someone up a mountain and be their hero just once, just one time. And it almost broke me. So I'll offer that humility. But I did. I was like, wow, okay. Like, this changed her life forever. And she gives me all the credit for that, and I don't really believe I deserve it. But for Zara, she realized she could show other people what they can do. That was her moment. And if you go forward to Mount Elbert, mm-hmm. when we baked that cake for Mount Elbert, the equipment, the volunteers, the planning, everything that we needed to do to make that successful every year since, Zara charged me at the top of the mountain and said, Jeffrey, I think she called me a butthead. I can't remember. She said something like, you're a butthead if you don't bake this cake for others. Like, you have an obligation to share this peak with everyone. And that was her empowerment. She was like, I have the moment to tell my brother that he has to work his tail off and share this with everybody. Otherwise, he's whatever she's going to call
me. He's a butthead.
So it was just so powerful for me. And we both realized what we were capable of and that we can be exceptional. Yeah. And Zara took her advocacy to a whole different level after that.
Yeah.
You know, she was telling people, you can be exceptional. Mm-hmm. And I was sharing, we'd both just discovered that we can be exceptional. Everyone can. It's the awareness that we can create change around us that allows us to be exceptional. It's that little belief in ourselves to say, I've already failed if I don't try. So let me try. And if I fail, I'm back to square one. But what if I move forward? What happens if I have success? What if I create change in someone's life? And then what if they ask for more?
Yeah.
What if the people around say, we want more? All of a sudden, we've found our passion and our vision and our mission in life.
And what if they create change in our lives, which Zara did for you, right?
Zara transformed my life in ways that I still don't understand because mm-hmm. I don't know where this train's going.
Yeah.
I have no idea. I just know that she helped me believe in myself. She actually offered me that opportunity before I offered it to her.
Wow.
She told me, you can do anything. And I knew this because I had people telling me this before, the mentors. Mm-hmm. But Zara said, just go, just do it. Mm-hmm. And then she charged me and said, like, you failed if you don't continue.
Wow. Powerful story, Jeffrey. Thank you so much for sharing it. We'll take a short break here on What's Upstream and come back in a few minutes with Jeffrey Lockwood and probably some more stories about, you know, becoming exceptional no matter which side of this equation you're on, right?
Yes.
So we will see you all back here in a short couple of minutes.
Mm-hmm.
little jazz for you all out there. While we took a little break here, Jeffrey Lockwood and I, we are talking about his work with the Lockwood Foundation, and we will get right back to it in just a minute. This is Lori Beckel coming to you on KYGT LPFM 102.7 and 103.9, streaming worldwide on clearcreekradio.com. Have a couple of other PSAs here. This is cool. An acoustic jam night happening the second Friday. So the next one will take place this Friday at Westbound and Down in Idaho Springs. So from 5 to 8 p.m. Oh, that sounds really great. Acoustic jam night. So show up with your guitars and banjos and mandolins, and those are what's in the picture, but I bet you could sign, you could show up with whatever you play and join in the jam night. The other thing we have is Val Heiderson, one of our DJs here, is offering guitar and bass lessons. She's based in Evergreen, and you can give her a call if you're interested at 303-907-82. I had some nice music background there. 303-907-8020 to inquire. So, back to the story of the Lockwood Foundation and the stories that the Lockwood Foundation and Jeffrey Lockwood are, you know, the peak life experiences that you are helping. So share another with us, Jeffrey, if you would.
Yeah, you know, we sort of ended with Mount Elbert, you know, our tallest peak in Colorado. You know, I like to say it's Colorado's mountain.
Mm-hmm.
It really is the top of the world here. And we helped five other athletes up that mountain. Unfortunately, weather was not great this last season, and we were only able to summit Pikes Peak, which we took on 2 years ago as an experiment. 2 years ago, we looked and we said, 3 years ago, really, to plan for 2 years ago, what other 14ers should we climb? There's 100 adventures on local regional trails for every one 14er. And mm-hmm. we thought, if we can create two experiences a year, That's double. Mm-hmm. Wonderful. What an easy... Everything after that becomes more difficult, but to double it might be feasible. So we looked at logistics, we looked at mountains, we looked at trails. Everything was either very far, very difficult, or had logistical assets that we didn't have, or operational assets, resources, like water, mm-hmm. a campsite for our team. So we actually started looking at Pikes Peak for a few different reasons. One, because it has incredible infrastructure. It has a camp halfway up the bar trail. Yes, we chose the long side of Pikes Peak. There's been a few groups that have come up the back side, the shorter route, but we actually thought the front side would be safer and a better experience. Mm-hmm. There was an element of Pikes Peak being an iconic both trail and mountain. And we thought, okay, that's powerful. If no one's ever heard of the 14er we go up on, you know, is it as impactful as something that is iconic? And you know, if you've never been on Pikes Peak, people play America's the Beautiful on various instruments at the top. I mean, it is an experience as an American, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And it's America's mountain. So what a dynamic to explore a mountain that had all of those things, but we could split between sharing Colorado's mountain, the top of Colorado, and simultaneously America's mountain. Mm. And we started looking at the logistics, and it really lined up. And we opted to go up the Bar Trail, to camp at Bar Trail, and 2 years ago to help a young man named Reed and his family climb the mountain. And his parents had climbed all 58 14ers. They had been married on Pikes Peak.
Oh, no kidding.
And they live in Colorado Springs, but their son had never been on a 14er with them. So that was 2 years ago, and we were able to get a picture at the top of the mountain where his parents were married with Bryson there. I'm sorry, not Bryson, with Reed there with us. And it was this incredible experience of like they had married on a 14er, had done them all, and now their son got to join them on the entire expedition.
Oh my gosh.
On a mountain that he looks at every day.
Oh.
And it was so, we did not plan it that way. It was, we were looking for participants, and that's what lined up as the most eligible in terms of sort of safety and preparation, and had Reed gone to several of our events. And we thought to ourselves, like, what a shame to not take someone from Colorado Springs up Pikes Peak if they look at it every day from their home. And we basically the next year, pretty quickly, we had another athlete lined up, and that was Bryson. And he, you know, Bryson actually skis with me at the National Sports Center for the Disabled. We've been hiking for several years together. And so we had these various connections. His father is a volunteer at NSCD. I mean, we were overlapping in so many ways, and they live in Colorado Springs, and they have such a, the mom and dad had climbed that mountain just like the family before, but Bryson had not experienced it outside of the road to the top. So that mission, it really became, just by kind of coincidence, this youth-centric, let's share these experiences regionally with families who want to climb that mountain. We don't believe it'll be like that, but this idea that we would share not just Colorado's mountain with everyone, but America's mountain should be accessible by all Americans, even outside of the road. The road is phenomenal accessibility. I give it a 6 out of 10 for adventure. It's lovely. To be in and out, I've been there, I've taken the road, I've gotten my donuts. I like the trail a little more. And we wanted to open up that side of the mountain for families, for adaptive athletes, for human beings, human hearts, to have that experience and say, I climbed the entire bar trail with my family. I stayed at a hut, and I climbed one of the tallest peaks in Colorado, in Pikes Peak, America's mountain.
Wow, that's amazing. Any equipment? Has equipment evolved during the time that you've
not
been creating these magical memories?
You know, our piece of equipment from Canada that we've been unable to purchase it in the last year and a half, actually, due to some trade restrictions and just some fun things that have either made the shipping responsibility for a small organization is not feasible. It's actually dangerous. You can break federal law on accident by organizing international trade without the right protocols. And so we've actually been unable to, and the additional like $5,000 onto the cost of the equipment, which grant funders won't fund. So we stopped purchasing those devices about a year and a half ago, and we've actually purchased some other single tracks, one wheel devices that are effectively trail wheelchairs. The technology that we've got in place of the original is okay. We've found some good items, some good equipment that helps younger, smaller adaptive athletes in a more conforming way, a more appropriate way, less padding, basically, less add-ons. But we have just really found that, you know, this is the world of wheelchairs. There are 500,000 different wheelchair armrests because there are 500,000 different needs. That's just an armrest. You know, seat cushions, headrest, backrest, angles, leg supports, leg angle distance. I mean, all of these things have to be modular, or you're lucky to get 50% of people in our chair uncomfortably. So we realized very quickly we have to develop our own equipment, which is becoming a big piece of the next step of our organization. We actually have engineers on our team. We have about 12 mechanical engineers with various levels up to master's degree in mechanical engineering, aerospace engineers. I mean, just from all over the state that are meeting up almost every weekend on their own time.
Oh my gosh.
To design a trail wheelchair that is both adjustable, more functional, and modular. In other words, those 500,000 armrests, we're going to have a plug-and-play option. We may not have 500,000, but we might come up with 20 that can adapt to different body types so that everyone can go out onto the trail, whether it's the armrest, the seat cushions, the headrests, but everything modular. One frame, one wheel, and everything else being modular and adaptable, because that's what the community needs. And just like Zara needed to climb Mount Elbert to be included and create memories, and for us to create memories, my other friends have different needs, just like I do. You know, I can't fit in a Sportiva shoe. It's too thin, so I have to go with a wide size. And that's just the nature of the game. So we're going to make shoes that fit. And those trail wheelchairs are our boots.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Yeah. You were telling me about your involvement with the Paralympics, which I'd love to hear about.
You know, it is one of my little, I'm one of those people who really likes to get out and get involved. I land, and if I find traction, I stay involved and I use the traction. Mm-hmm. I started working as staff at the National Sports Center for the Disabled. I guess I'm in my second year now. I had taught at Ignite Adaptive Sports, also a great program out at Eldora. So Winter Park in Eldora, I teach adaptive skiing. I'm a specialist in sit skiing. We're approaching the Paralympics in March. Mm-hmm. And that is such a powerful event. I ski with Paralympians or people who will be competing in the Paralympics. So they will be Paralympians. And I had this moment where I thought, I want to watch. I can't wait to see my friends ski and mm-hmm. hopefully medal and maybe win and represent the United States of America. How incredible for me to, I mean, both to support the USA, but also to watch my friends win
yeah.
and compete. Oh my gosh. And then I thought, I want everyone to experience this. And the deeper I got into this, the more I realized we have these partnerships with organizations like Hope Kids, mm-hmm. where they're working with hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of families with lifelong disabilities and their children, with some with terminal illnesses, athletes that have not fully discovered their potential, how they can be exceptional. Mm-hmm. You know, these families are in and out of children's hospital. They're visiting us when they're feeling well. Mm-hmm. It's a tough dynamic. And I thought, you know, wouldn't it be cool to have an event, not just where I get to watch my friends ski, but where I can bring in some of our partners and have the kids recognize that adaptive athletes are exceptional. Mm-hmm. I know a handful of sit skiers that can ski 30% faster than me. I'm not proud of that.
I was going to say, out-ski you?
Like, absolutely smoke me. I wanted to bring that number down. 10%? No, it's 30% faster than I am. And I need our young athletes to know that like your ability does not impact your ability to be exceptional. Mm-hmm. And then I thought, I have all these friends that may or may not be going to the Paralympics in Italy this year. And I want them to peer mentor our younger athletes at this event, and I want to have games and I want to have a party and I want us to celebrate exceptional individuals and that we all can be exceptional and that you don't have to be an adult to start. And in fact, if you want to be in the Paralympics, it's better to start early.
Yeah.
And introduce them to other programs. So that has been something we have been trying to put together. One of our board members is a peer mentor for the Reeve Foundation, Christopher and Dana Reeve Foundation, and Craig Hospital. And so that was a stimulus for me to go, there's something here that I don't understand yet before I realize let's pair up. Mm-hmm. We'll mask it as a party. We're just going to watch the Paralympics. But what's really going to be happening is athlete development. Mm. Exceptional athlete. Internal, you can do it, you can change the world, you can be exceptional, you're a champion. Mm-hmm. You will be a champion.
And that dynamic. With a mentor that may be able to be matched with that young person.
Exactly.
Oh, that's so cool. And I'm guessing this is one of those things people can find on your website. Is that right?
It's on our website. We are thelockwoodfoundation.org. Just for the formality, my name is Jeffrey Lockwood. I'm the executive director and founder, and my email is jeffrey@thelockwoodfoundation.org. If you are interested in volunteering for us, participating as an adaptive athlete, or just as a human heart, we try not to create a volunteer or adaptive participant dynamic. We're all humans. We're there to support one another. You support the community by coming with a smile and cheering for the success that we have and, you know, maybe tailgating with us in the parking lot and eating some hamburgers and hot dogs and just sharing fellowship. That's how you support us. You can sign a waiver on the website. You can email me. Reach out. We're always looking to grow our community. It's an inclusive community. We want everyone to have a piece. Accessibility is walking through the door. Inclusion is having a seat at the table. We're really actually going for equity. We want everyone to have a piece of the pie. We want everyone to plan the party we're going to host for everyone. And that's not the Paralympics party. That's our experiences in the mountain. So equitable organization, reach out to me. We'll include you. We want you to be there.
Oh, that's terrific.
I'll say we need you.
And your smile.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
I love what I do, and I cannot imagine a world where I would have gone to law school, graduate school, and not chased this path. I might do that in retirement just for fun.
Yeah.
This is it.
It may not have put the expression on your face that I'm seeing.
I am joyous because I am chasing my dream, and I'm finding a little traction, and I'm seeing people smile, and I get to be a part of that.
What are your dreams for the future?
Well, we just opened a community center this July. That was huge for an organization that's only been around for less than a decade. You know, we have four staff. We're trying to grow our staff. That's huge. Fundraising is very difficult. We have such an organic and beautiful program that a lot of our big visions come together very quickly. But when we need to scale programming, fundraising, if we want to build a trail device, funding comes in right. exponential rates. But when we want to grow programming, it's expensive and difficult. So we need to grow our capacity and our operational capacity. But our biggest dream, after we opened the community center, we're working on this engineering project.
Where is the community center?
We're in Golden, Jeffrey. Colorado.
Okay.
Golden, Colorado, 17301 West Colfax. It's right on the edge of Colfax as it hits I-70. Our biggest vision is to create a place for this community. Well over 1,000 volunteers, hundreds of adaptive athletes, and that just equates to about 1,200 human hearts that need a home. Mm-hmm. And most of our trail systems are built for groups of 10, 12 at most. Mm-hmm. So our biggest vision is, how do we create this place in the mountains where we can hike, ski, camp, lodge, not in a way that's watered down, but that is truly Colorado mountaineering experiences and where we can hold those memories for the rest of our life. And I'm talking about a mountain campus and a place where we can invite other community organizations to help facilitate things that we're not masters of, like adaptive climbing, water sports, different accommodations. It's education is one of those things that we are just starting now because of our space, but we look at our future as being, if we master these techniques of getting people with all abilities up mountains, we have this obligation back to Zara calling me a butthead on the mountain saying, you have to teach others to do this. Mm-hmm. Don't hold the recipe like it's a family recipe and only cook it at Christmas.
Right.
So education is a big part of our mission, but we need a space to do that. And we've already outgrown our 5-year lease in 6 months.
Oh my gosh. So that's the big dream.
That's the big dream.
Challenges you have, like?
Challenges. Yeah. I mean, I mentioned, fundraising is always difficult, and it's because we have such big ambitions. You can't think big without fundraising behind it. So that is a challenge. Really our biggest challenge is networking in a way. Everything we do, including fundraising, but our volunteers, our adaptive athletes, everything comes through networking. So I would say our biggest challenge is the people that we need to meet that we haven't met yet.
I see.
So if there's someone that you know that might have space we could play on, might have a resource that we could utilize, might know a leader that could help us facilitate, or you just want to hear about our mission, like, let me tell you our story. There's more. There's thousands of these stories. And like I said, we need your help. Our mission is people. And without people coming around the campfire, we don't get to tell the story and we don't get to plan for the next adventure. So if you know someone that I should know, that our community should know, please introduce me. My email is jeffrey@thelockwoodfoundation.org. And I'll give you my phone number too. It's 303-587-0698.
Wow, a personal contact.
Yeah, why not?
So anyone that you know out there that you think Jeffrey should know, you now have a personal invitation to make the connection. That networking really can make such a difference in this world. It really is the way we should all work together.
You know, when you can connect with someone and you can feel their heart, business is easy. Creating is easy. It's when you don't feel one another. But we have to get together and we have to have those conversations and share our hearts and our visions. You know, our visions inspire one another. What are you working to build is my favorite question to ask someone when they're excited to meet.
Yeah, terrific. Yeah, so you're asking them that question. That's the way you lead into a conversation.
I love it.
Yeah.
What are you excited about?
Right.
That's how we connect.
Exactly.
Because I'm probably going to tell you what I'm excited about one way or another. I'm just that type of person. So.
Well, this has been just so, so inspiring and interesting. I'm just wondering sort of your last thoughts for our CAGO community out there, Jeffrey.
Yeah, I would just say, you know, there has been such a warm welcome for me as an individual and for our community organization to be here. And I just would love to thank Clear Creek County and anyone listening now. It's good to be here, and I'm excited to figure out, you know, what is my place in Clear Creek County? You know, when I make that final decision to stay forever, you know, how can I make an impact? So I would say as an individual too, outside of the organization, you know, reach out to me if you have a vision. I'm trying to explore and survey for the next year and figure out where do I belong? I like to have high impact and I like to make people happy and help facilitate the needs of the community. So I would love to connect with anyone in Clear Creek County, in Idaho Springs, Georgetown, anywhere in the space, and just talk life.
Wonderful. What a lovely invitation. Well, thank you so much for being on What's Upstream today. This program will repeat on Friday at noon. So if it's inspired you and you think somebody else would be inspired too, suggest that they listen in on Friday at noon. We also eventually archive all of our programs, and so eventually you will be able to find this program on clearcreekradio.com under the archives. Continue to support us. Next Wednesday on What's Upstream, we have our beloved History Women coming on, and with always very interesting information. So join us then. We hope that you're all feeling safe and maybe inspired a little bit more from this program to find or think about your own purpose, what that is. Who are those mentors in your life that, if you're not listening to them right now, maybe you should be? And mentors, as Jeffrey has really helped us remember, can be those people that not only provide some words of wisdom to us, but keep us from having to learn the lessons of not doing things the way we'd like over and over again. So be a mentor, listen to a mentor, be inspired, be exceptional. So thank you all for listening today. This is Lori Beckel signing off.
What's coming up? What's going down? What's coming to us?